Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
All right, so I'm going to preach. Father, I pray that you would just bless our time. I pray, God, that you would just bring your word, bring your power in a powerful way in an area that we all need. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I was talking about Family Matters. We did a series on it. This is still part of that series. Today, I want to talk about forgiveness because when you talk about relationships, forgiveness is key in relationships. If you don't get forgiveness, you're not going to have quality relationships. So today's sermon title is Forgive Fast and Frequent. Say fast and frequent. Forgive fast and frequent. You can't, like, wait, like, you know, stonewall somebody. I'm not speaking to you for day after day after day. It doesn't work. The Bible says don't let the sun go down on your anger. You know, you can't do that stuff. It's like, stop that. You know, don't do that. Don't carry it on. You're the one who gets tortured. You know, someone was reminding me of that thing where they say unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. You're like, you're going to get it. I'm drinking poison. And they're getting all corrupted, and you're like waiting for some. It's messed up. Don't do that. In relationships, sometimes you need to say, we will talk about this later. We'll talk about it in the morning. Well, you get your heart right and life right with God. But you can't, like, let things go day after day. And forgiveness is something we need to do quick and fast. I want to tell you a story to start before I this is the opening, I guess. As I wanted to just open this with a story about a young man. He's sitting on death row in a Pennsylvania state penitentiary. Who wants to be on death row in Pennsylvania? He's about to get executed, and the people there are like, a lot of them in that section are in death row. The warden comes in, and he's pardoned by, I think it was the governor or whoever pardons. I think it's the governor, but he gets pardoned. He gets a pardon so that the warden comes down, and he's telling him, you have been pardoned, and everybody's freaking out like, dude, I hope I get pardoned. You know, he's supposed to die, you know, and you know, the guy says, leave me alone. I want to die. I don't want your pardon. What the pumpernickel? You've been released. They didn't know what to do. So they said, they went back and got a legal counsel and said, what do we do? The governor pardoned him. The guy wants to die. Do we kill him? And then he's been pardoned. How can you execute a guy who's been pardoned? And then legally they came up with it and figured out that if there's a pardon, he has to receive the pardon for him to be off sentence. So he fulfilled the sentence, and he was killed for his crimes. So he's not innocent. He was, you know, guilty. So, but he could have been free. And he just said, get away from me. I want to die. I'm like, and some people can look at that and they say, that guy's crazy. You know what I mean? Don't you think that's kind of crazy? It's like, Hansel, come on. What are you doing? Why would you think like that? Who thinks like that? Who would not want to live? But yet, think about it. Think about it. Spiritually, the world, there's tons of people who are rejecting God's pardon. Where God, through Jesus Christ and the cross, has made a way to pardon the sin of mankind. And a lot of people refuse the forgiveness from the cross. And they're just as crazy as the guy, crazier than the guy who said, just kill me, I want to die. Because you can die in the flesh and still go to heaven, but to die for eternity, to have eternal damnation, it's crazy. The thought of eternity separate from the love of God, that's crazy. And God has issued a pardon, but we must receive it. What if we had a gift and I had a gift for you and I just said, Joy, I have a gift from you. It's here. Julio said, you're not taking any gift from him. You can't have the gift. It's like, I could have the gift. I could have paid for the gift with everything that I have. But if you don't get, why did I make Julio the bad guy? Julio is saying, take the gift, but you don't want the gift. And then, you know, Julio's like, go take it. And you're not taking it. You're not going to receive the benefit from the gift unless you receive it. So when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all the sins. But we have to invoke, we have to receive it through forgiveness. When we say, forgive me, Lord, we're receiving what he paid for. You receive the gift of salvation. You receive the gift of forgiveness. Salvation is the first forgiveness that we enter into a relationship where we become children of God. This is a relational series. But after that, we can also separate ourselves from the blessing and promises by embracing unforgiveness. Are you with me? And so that is not, that's not smart. We should, you know, we need to receive the blessings of God. So let's go to our main text, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Out of the Passion Translation, it says this. Pray like this: Our Father, dwelling in the heavenly realms, may the glory of your name be the center on which our life turns. Manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth, just as it is fulfilled in heaven. We acknowledge you as our provider of all we need each day. Forgive us the wrongs we have done, as we ourselves release forgiveness to those who have wronged us. Rescue us in time, rescue us every time we face tribulation, and set us free from evil. For you are the King who rules with power and glory forever. And everyone said, now look, as a Catholic boy, I could whoop that prayer out so fast. I could do the Hail Marys, Our Fathers, because the quicker I said those penances, that I lied to the priest half the time because they say, tell you your sins. I'm telling you, I was a bad Catholic. There's good Catholics who are good people going to heaven. I'm not bashing Catholics. I was not one of those. I was a bad Catholic little boy. I would go in and lie to the priest in the confessional. That's how rotten I was, because I'm like, if I really tell him my sins, I'm going to be out there for 3 days trying to say all the Hail Marys and Our Fathers he's going to give me. So I'd go in there and go, I lied once, maybe twice because I'm lying now. And I'd be like, I disobeyed my mom once, and he'd be like, go do this and that, you know. And then I'd go out there, and I'd whip through those prayers quick so we could, like, go. My mom has 10 kids at a confessional. It's like, you know what I mean? I'm like, all right, we had to do this before Christmas for something. Maybe I won't get Christmas presents. But I was a messed up Catholic, okay? And I could say that prayer, but I didn't know what I was saying. I just rifled through a prayer. This is not what Jesus is saying. And he's telling us pray like, he's giving us a model of prayer, but the things that he said in this prayer are so powerful, it's more of a model for you to pray off of, not just to repeat words that don't have any meaning. Are you with me? So I did get saved at 21, and all that was then, and now I'm a different person. That guy's dead. Moving right along. But I just want you to see, this verse, this text doesn't stop at verse 13. Look at verse 14. Now, at the beginning, during the prayer, he said, right, he said that in verse 11 and 12, he said, give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts. So he talked about forgiveness right up in verse 11, but then he says, amen. Then he brings it back in 14, and this must be important, right? And he says, when you pray, right, when you pray, say, when you pray. He says it. Listen, Jesus is saying again, have you ever been told something, like when you're told something and then, you know, your dad's like, let me tell you again, and you're like, okay, this I really can't forget. You know, he's telling me a second time. There's something important here because this is like, boom, let me repeat this. Do you have this? Look in my face, repeat it, you know. Well, Jesus is saying this, so this is important. He says, when you pray, make sure you forgive the faults of others so that your Father in heaven will also forgive you. But if you withhold forgiveness from others, your Father withholds forgiveness from you. The literal meaning, forgive us, is it saying in proportion as we forgive. I'm serious. I have been looking at this for weeks. I've been sitting here just taking this through. And in that, I pray. I'm like, God, show me. Is there someone I need to forgive? Is there anybody that I don't want to hang out with? Is there somebody I wouldn't want to eat with? Is there an in-law or an outlaw? Is there a, you know what I mean? Is there somebody in the family? You know, because I don't want to hold anything. And if we ask God, he may show you someone. You just forgive quick, forgive quick. Even if I forgave a person, I think I forgave my father when I got born again. I forgave him for a decade, probably 10 years. I forgave him over and over and over and over and over and over and over because I just, when it would come up, I would just forgive him again. You say, well, why did you have to keep forgiving him? Well, if you took all the pain from being abused and all the stuff, it's like there was stuff in there, so I just kept forgiving. But then when you can actually speak well of a person, I knew the point when I was past what I needed to forgive, when I didn't have to think those thoughts and I could say something positive about him, or you believe the best about a person. You know, you've shifted into an area where you're walking in the forgiveness. Now, I'm not advocating that God is slow to forgive. God forgives. I'm saying we're the ones who are slow sometimes. And we hold out things in our heart. And if there's something there, get rid of it. If you can do it fast and do it frequent. So, we need to forgive. The literal meaning means in that proportion. Now think about that. Luke 6:31 says, just as you want men to do to you, do also to them likewise. So it's one thing if we were saying, and if you were saying, you know, Father, you know, let men treat me this way. I mean, you could take that. That's like, okay, you know, you did something, let somebody else, you know, treat you in that same respect. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, Jesus is telling you to pray every day, Father, say, Father, forgive me the way I forgive others. You're telling God to treat you the way you treat others. How good do you treat others? Jesus is telling us to pray this way. We should be like, as far as family matters and relationships, we should be really good at practicing forgiveness, walking in forgiveness, and forgiving others the way we want to be treated by God. And we should be talking to God about it. If Jesus brought this up, it's a really critical thing. So we need to be treating it that way, especially when we're saying, Father God, treat me that way. The first thing I want to point out is that it's daily forgiveness, and we need it. He said in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. In some areas, it may be our daily rice. You know, I remember being in the Philippines, and we're eating rice at McDonald's instead of fries. I'm like, cool. That's their daily bread. In Africa, where we go, it's a corn thing that looks like mashed potatoes, but it's corn. And it's like, that's their daily thing. You know, but what he's saying here is give us our daily, whatever that is, sustenance. Give us our daily physical food, but it also can apply to like your mental food, your spiritual food. It could be in every area. Give us our daily needs. So along with asking for what you need to live daily, he's saying you should be also asking for, Father, forgive me and forgive my debts. That's pretty crazy because that's like, he's saying do it frequent. So number one, practice forgiveness daily. In this matter, therefore, pray as we forgive our debtors. You know, this General James Oglethorpe, he was talking to John Wesley, and he said, I once said to John Wesley, I never forgive. What? I never forgive, and I never forget. And he's like, Mr. General, all proud about that. John Wesley looks at him and says, then, sir, I hope you never sin. Because if you never forgive and you never forget, it's like you're going to like be holding forgiveness towards others, and you want God to treat you the way you treat others? Hello? Forgiveness is a key issue. We not only get it, we have to get it to give it, and we need to get better at giving it. So we need to get it all the time, and not just once at salvation. We need to go back to that same cross that we got saved at. If we find ourselves off the trail, get back on the trail. If you find yourself off in a ditch, get back on the ditch. If you find yourself talking to yourself in the car, talking to yourself in the shower, talking to someone who's not in the room, it's like you need to forgive them and you need to forgive them quick. Hello? I'm saying like when something's bothering you and you're whatever that is, when it goes back, when you keep thinking on it and meditating on it, you need to like forgive fast. That stuff will torment you. It'll mess you up. And we can't just think forgiveness thoughts. We must practice forgiveness in our prayers, with our speech, with our actions. Martin Luther King Jr. said something so powerful. I could just unpack this for a whole sermon. But he has about four things in this. One little statement he made that was so powerful, and I want to read it to you. He said, we must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. Develop and maintain. Develop it, the ability to forgive, by getting forgiveness through Christ. Develop and then maintain the capacity. What is it that gets you to the point where you can't forgive? Well, I can forgive everything, but don't mess with my woman. Don't mess with my baby. Come on, moms. Somebody messes with your kid. It's like, look out. You know, like, what is it? You know, if someone does, I can take a lot of things, but don't do this thing. Are you with me? So sometimes there's a trigger point. Sometimes there's something. I was raised in a military family. Honor is a big thing. Honor is a trigger point. If I feel dishonored, that's a hard thing. I have to identify dishonor and say, if that's happening, be careful because I could like, you know, that, like you have to look at yourself and say, I'm getting better at the things that are my weakness, but I want to make sure I identify my weaknesses so that I don't. I want to get not only to practice forgiveness, but get better at forgiving even people who are totally dishonorable or whatever yours is. Maybe it's some other thing that makes you, whatever it is, do you get it? So we have to, I'm trying to say a paragraph, I should stick to Martin Luther. Here we go. He said, we must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. I'm like, boom. If you can't forgive, you can't love. And isn't that what it's all about? They know us by our love. If you say, well, I'm having trouble loving, it's like, are you having trouble forgiving? If you're having trouble loving, is there a problem with forgiving? And is that machine still on? Maybe someone needs to unplug that machine. Val, is the machine still on? Could be on. Someone might need to unplug it. And so we must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. And he who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. And now listen to this one. I thought this was so good. This is Martin Luther King Jr. He said, there's some good in the worst of us and there's some evil in the best of us. When we discover this, we're less prone to hate our enemies. I mean, let's just be real. You know, like even in the best people, there's issues. And even in the worst people, there's good things. Like, let's not be quick to just like throw someone under the bus. Let's believe in people. Let's love people. And let's pull out the good in others. And Luke said it this way, Luke 11:4, he said, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Wow. And what that means is it's a present tense verb that means every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're claiming that we already forgave all those who sinned against us. That means every day. So every day, is there any day that you haven't forgiven someone who sinned against you? It's challenging. And that's what he's doing, and that's what I'm trying to get today, is that we have to be those who forgive fast and forgive frequent, that we develop the capacity and then maintain the capacity, that we're big enough and mature enough for somebody to tell us and say, you know what, I think when this happens, this is when usually when I, Jason's the most loving person, but like when I see Jason get disturbed about something, maybe it's the same thing. So a lot of times your spouse, Kaneen, will say, this is the thing when you usually, you know, when I don't see you, you know, when loving stops. And you need to be man enough to say, I need to figure out if there's some issue I need to pray through on this area. You know, we need to be the people who are like policing ourselves. You know, no one else is going to do that. We have to. And with a spouse, sometimes they'll tell us, we need to be humble enough to say, thank you for helping me to help walk through this. It's not the best time right in the middle when you're in a conflict to say, you blah, blah, blah. They're really not going to receive it then. But later is a really good time to bring those conversations up. C.S. Lewis said, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. They're like, good message, Pastor, until all of a sudden they're offended. Then it's like, whatever that message was, but do you know what they did? Do you know what Jesus did for you? Now, listen, I get it. Like, husbands are usually fix-it people. There's a problem, we fix it. So if you see something and your wife's trying to talk to you, don't just go, okay, stop, I got it, let's forgive right now. Let her talk. Let her talk it out. With a man, talk means 5 minutes. Sometimes it's 15, 20 minutes. It's okay. Yours is 5, hers is 15. Let her talk 15. Just think about it and go, I'm done with patience in 5 minutes. Say, God, give me patience for 15. Triple it, you'll be in there. Okay? Just sit through the other 10 minutes and say, no, I will wait. And then afterwards, lead them and say, I am so sorry the way you feel, honey. Let's pray together and forgive the person. I almost scratched their eyes out. I don't want to forgive them. It's like, let's forgive them anyway, and the feelings can follow. As Christians, we have a response. Are you with me? Now, I'm not characterizing all women, because some women, it's totally opposite, and it's the man who's doing that. And the man's got many words, and the woman's got the wisdom, but it's about an 80-20 mix where men have less words, but some men have more, and ladies have different. It's about an 80-20 mix, okay? I'm just saying, typically, that's the way it rolls. So whatever you think it should be, men, just triple that thing and you'll be fine. And ladies, so be patient. But we need to work with it, with each other, to walk through, to say, we are going to be a house that forgives. The way I used to say it all the time, I still say it, but I would say, we live. And as pastors, I got my pastor sitting right here, my worship pastors. I would say, we live bigger than that. You know, when we would talk about issues, we'd say, that's an issue, that was totally unjust, and the things they're saying or doing, but we're going to live above that. We're going to live by a higher standard. So we live above that. We're not going to be offendable. We're going to be unoffendable because we deal with the offense under the blood of Jesus, and we'll walk above that. Are you with me? So if we just get that, and even with our kids, I'd be like, I don't care if you're a pastor's kid. We do what we do because we're Christians, not because you're a pastor's kid. You don't do anything different. Everything I do, I would still do if I wasn't a pastor because I'm a Christian, because I'm a man of God. And I have three sons. I'd be like, because you're a man of God, this is what you do and why you do this. Not because you're a pastor's kid, not because of some pressure from somewhere else, but because it's a standard from heaven. So we're going to live above being offended. Are you with me? And number two, we need to practice forgiveness in our thoughts. Like if in Hebrews 12:15, it says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, and let a root of bitterness spring up, causing trouble, and by this many become defiled. We need to look inside of ourselves, because sometimes it's a root and it's not out there and you didn't know it was there. But you can look inside and say, is there something there? Is there a root? Did something happen that took root that I just blow past it, but it's there still? That's a root. You need to deal with it. Psalms 139:23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. If there's any wicked way in me, and lead me. See if there's any wicked way. If you pray and say, God, is there any wicked way in me? Help deal with this. I guarantee if you say, is there anyone I need to forgive? And he shows you someone, just forgive them. Just move on. If you need to repent for something, repent for it. If you need to go to someone, go to them and say, forgive me. What I did was wrong. And the faster you say, forgive me, what I did was wrong, the better it is. I have blown it as a father, but I try to get there as fast as I can to go like I blew it, then to go, hey, your dad was wrong, shouldn't have done it that way, even though it was pretty stupid that you punched your brother in the face, I shouldn't have yelled at you, or you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Whatever it is, you know, you just threw your sister's doll down the toilet, that's wrong, but dad probably shouldn't have said it that way to you. And I always hate it when like you have a correction point and you over the and now you have to repent for something in the midst of teaching them a lesson. Moms, have you been there too? I don't think any moms ever get past their point. You know, our kids are just such angels and they never, that was, yeah, I'm just moving right along. So mommies can come and say, mommy, maybe that wasn't right the way mommy said that, but what you did was wrong and this is wrong. You still correct, but we need to deal with things fast. If you need forgiveness, fast and frequent. And the last one is practice forgiving people's actions. And so we do it in our thoughts because then you'll be able to do it, but also their actions. And some people, they've done some things that they aren't right. You know, some people say, well, they did that, but they have a good heart. They probably did it because they don't have a good heart. That's the whole problem. What their actions are doing is resulting because there's something messed up in their heart. You don't just come in and go, well, I did this and it was wrong, but I really am a really super good. You know, there's something in there. Why you keep doing that? Go inside and deal with that thing and forgive other people's actions. Forgive them and forgive them quickly. And yeah, so I think you got it. I think that's it. I think we're going to skip to the end. Practical applications. By forgiving, you bring the glory of God. In Proverbs 19:11, it says, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. There's glory to God when you forgive and overlook. When you play the high road and you say, I'm going to take the high road, and I, even though they did this, I'm going to go above that. I'm going to forgive them and just take the high road. There's glory because God says, that's what I did. Think about it. God forgives our sins as far as the east is from the west. God forgives every one of our sins and transgressions through as we come to him. God is a powerful God. And when we look like him, he really likes it. And the next one is forgive daily and you'll stay healthier. It's just realistic. You can look. There's studies from, what's the clinic? Mayo Clinic. Mayo Clinic has done studies saying people that forgive live healthier, live longer. Hopkins University, people that forgive, sickness is tied to unforgiveness. Not all of it. Some people are sick and it has nothing to do with unforgiveness, but unforgiveness, they should rephrase that. Unforgiveness is tied to sickness. So if you're not quick to forgive, you can, things will latch on. And certain sicknesses are kind of known for certain things of unforgiveness. And there's certain ones that they kind of cluster together. So we don't want to do that. So we want to be healthy, live healthy. And it's, and the last one was just forgive friends, bring strength and protection. And it says this in Proverbs 18:19. It says, it's easier to conquer a strong city than to win back a friend whom you've offended. Their walls go up, make it impossible to win them back. And the opposite is true, though. If you stick together with a friend, and when two friends stand together, even when they've been offended, it's like the bars of a city. It's like when you get two people and you go, you know, you tick me off and I know you tick me off, but I forgive you and I love you and we stand together. That's like a, that's a thing that's so strong because nothing's going to divide our friendship. Jeremiah is a great friend of mine. He would stand, even if I had faults, he helped me work on my yard. You know, like I don't know, Ben was working with me the other day and I smashed my finger and just kind of moved it back, you know, and smashed the meat off the end. It was pretty bad. He's like, oh, but I didn't cuss. Hallelujah. I didn't say bleep. I just said, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Heal that and don't let that be really bad before I look at it. But like, what if I did? And then Ben, like, you know, he would have been like, you know, I would have said, forgive me, I shouldn't have said that. And, you know, what I'm trying to say is that friends who forgive together and stand together, that's a powerful thing. The devil can't mess with that because when you're down, you'll be there to stand by them. And even when they're having a hard time, it's like, he's having a hard time. I'm going to stand next to my friend. I'm going to stand next to my brother. And so that kind of friendship is powerful, and the devil's afraid of that. That's why he wants to isolate you away from other people that practice forgiveness. And if I can isolate you, the devil's thought, if he isolates us, then he can pick us off because we're alone instead of together. So together, we're stronger. Last thing is, I just want to show you this picture. Would you stand with me? Do you have that in the tech booth? Can you show that closing picture? I thought that was so powerful. There's not far from New York City, there's a cemetery with a grave. And inscribed upon it, it just says forgiven. It says Galatians 2:20 on the bottom, and there's a date. It doesn't say the date of death or the date that they were born or the date that they were forgiven. I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter. The most important thing is they're forgiven. When you get to heaven, most important thing is that you enter heaven and they say, this one's forgiven. And when you're on earth and people talk about you, they can say all kinds of stuff, but hopefully they say, this one was quick to forgive. They were loving. I guarantee you, if you're loving, you've got a hold of forgiveness. If you're having a hard time loving, you need to get a hold of forgiveness. Fast and frequent. Would you just bow your heads with me today? And just say, Father, forgive me. Help me to be fast at forgiving. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that frees me from sin. Help me to declare that over others. Let me be one who practices forgiveness. Let your love flow through my life. And I pray right now for it. I pray right now for it. Let love flow right now. Let it flow to recesses where if you picture somebody that offended you, just forgive them now and say, I forgive them. I release them. I forgive them. Some of you have some pains that it's so hard to even for me to imagine of forgiving someone. I've prayed with people who've been through things that I never could imagine and know it's so hard for you to forgive. But I just encourage you to put that cross, that blood of Jesus between you and your offender and say, Father, you forgave me and by the blood of Jesus, I can forgive based on that blood. That blood is more powerful than any unforgiveness. It's more powerful than any devil that messes with you. It's more powerful than the curse of unforgiveness. And I just break it. I pray over you now. I pray that it's broken. I pray any curses of unforgiveness be broken over your lives. I pray you walk in forgiveness, walk in love, walk in health, and that your relationships would flourish as you practice frequent, that you would practice forgiveness every day, everyone, complete forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, I bless you. I bless your relationships. I bless your future because you were made to represent him. You were created in his image. You are beautiful and you can love and you can train yourself to love better. So I bless you and I bless your life in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.